Amen. Amen. Go to church where? It's a question that's been asked for many, many years. And we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus said about that. And this thing is amazing. There we go. And I want to ask Robin Schwebs to come up. He's going to read our scripture for us today. We're going to follow along. It's a scripture that's on the front of your bulletin, but it's also up there. And so Robin can face you and read it. And we can stand as we read the Word of God. It's a good thing to do in the house of the Lord. And something that's guaranteed while you read and hear, your faith will be growing, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So this is an exciting time right now.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I wanted to start with this scripture today that's on the front of the bulletin. Thank you, Robin. And thank you, church, for speaking the Word of God. We need to understand that the day is approaching, the day of Christ's return. We don't know when that will be, but we do know that He wants to come sooner than later, because He does not like what sin does to us. And I'm not sure whether Jesus knows now when He's going to come, but when He was on earth, the disciples asked Him, when are you going to return? When are you going to do these things? And Jesus said, the angels in heaven don't know, neither the Son of Man. The Father only has this time in his mind. And that was the way it was then. Now, 2,000 years have passed. They're doing many things in heaven. Jesus may know now. I don't know. But I do know this. He does not like what's happening to us. And I know that He wants to come back for us, because He came for us the first time and laid down on that cross. That tells me how much He loves me and how much He wants me with Him forever. I hope you're getting that same message and that same signal. And I hope you understand that before you ever even knew there was a God, before you ever even chose to love Him, before you ever decided to surrender your sins and your will to His way and to His beautiful life, before you even became friendly with God, He counted you worthy. He valued you so highly that He gave everything He had, the Creator of the universe. He gave His all for you. If you are the only sinner this world produces, Jesus still goes to the cross for you. Now that should make you feel very much loved, very much valued and honored, and no matter what happens, you can honestly and truthfully say, I am greatly blessed and highly honored because my God loves me and He values me so high that He went to the cross for me that day. You need to own that. That needs to be your testimony, because that testimony will give you power to overcome the darkness and the powers of evil. You must be able to say that from the depth of your being. And if you're not able to say that right now, all you need to say is, Jesus, save me, please. Help me, Lord, to be able to do this. And as you see the day approaching, we should even be getting together much more. And we should be stirring each other up more. And we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not only on Sabbath, I mean, that's a big day to celebrate and come together and supercharge and bless each other and learn of each other's struggles and pray for each other and make connections and friends and build each other up. But every day, excuse me, we need each other. We need to hear each other's prayers. We need to build one another up every day. And I hope you have that kind of fellowship in your life. If you do not, I beg you to ask God for it and to lay it all on the line. And if you don't have that kind of fellowship, I would like for you to call me and let me know. I'll fellowship with you if you don't have anybody else. And I'll find someone else that you can fellowship with. We will find people who will come and pray with you. And we have a beautiful church family here. We have an amazing member care ministry. And they will come out to your house even if you can't get here. If you're watching by satellite, if you're watching by the internet, they will come and pray with you. They'll answer your phone calls. These are good people made good by Jesus Christ and growing in goodness and increasing in goodness. God is our strength, but we need to be doing this, and we need to be exhorting one another. This exhorting means to encouraging and challenging and promoting each other. And I hope you're doing that on a daily basis, because that's what it's going to take for what's coming. And we need to be doing it now, because that's how we grow. And that's how we lift each other. And go to church where? Well, we talked about that last week some. It's impossible to go somewhere that you're already at 24/7. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have given your life to Jesus, and if you allow Him to come into your soul fresh and new each morning, you are in church 24/7. You are the church. You can't go somewhere you're already at. But you can get together with other believers at key moments and key times. Sabbath morning is a good time. Morning in your home. Every morning in your home is a good time. If you don't have any other believers in your home, then we're praying for you. Let us know. We'll pray for them to become believers. And God will hear our cries. But if you don't have any believers in your home, hopefully you have somebody that's close, a friend or a family member or somebody. And if you don't have anybody, you need to connect immediately and set up this prayer experience with other believers, and to exhort one another, to encourage and enrich and promote each other. It's so important. It's vitally important. More important than anything else in the universe is your spiritual well-being. You can die physically and still get to live forever because you have Jesus. And you're thriving and you're growing and abounding in His way, truth, and life. But if you don't have Jesus, you'll be dead forever. And God has much more for us than that. And as we look at this, go to church where? It's good, I think, to go back to this Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well that day to begin. Now, this is probably going to be a two-part sermon series, and I don't see any way we'll get through it today, but we'll start, and then we'll finish it hopefully next Sabbath. The woman said to him, this is the woman at the well, and he comes and asks for water, and she says, I perceive that you are a prophet. And, you know, he told her, well, you know, it's true you don't have a husband. And in fact, actually, you've had five. And right now, the person you're living for is not your husband. But I still love you anyway. I still care about you anyway. I'm here for you. You're valuable to me. You're worthy. You're worthy to me. He didn't say it here, but he could have said, I'm going to lay down on the cross for you because you are worthy. You're worth that much to me. That's what it means to be worthy. He could have told her all that day. Because that's how much He values every one of us. Now this is worldly, and this is how the world talks about it. Even if you've shacked up with someone, five different people, even if you've shacked up, that's what they used to call it, even if you've gone and lived outside of marriage with 10 different men, or 10 different women, or whatever you've done, you are still worthy to God, because He already laid on that cross for you. And if you think you're the worst sinner, and if you think you're the biggest loser, first of all, it's probably not true. Second of all, it doesn't matter. It really does not matter how many mistakes you've made, how many times you've done wrong or made bad choices or been selfish or been mean or ugly. Jesus is greater than all of that. Now, I know some of us who haven't been as ugly as others, we may make it hard on you for a while, but hopefully we'll wake up and say, you know what? I'm just as needy as this poor soul. I hope you're hearing God's voice, because he came to save us. And we need to understand that he values us so highly that we can't even count the cost that he paid to rescue us. So she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Where should you go to church? Well, back in those days, the Samaritans said it was this mountain. They set up a whole new system, a whole new altar. They broke away from Judah and the Levites, and they set up a whole new system, the Northern Kingdom. And Jesus has an answer for her. And we may get to see it if this thing will quit rejecting me. I know how to feel rejected. This thing even rejects me. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain," where they were in Samaria, "nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." It's not important where you're at. What's important is who are you worshiping? Who are you worshiping? I remember back in the mid and late 70s, I was wandering around to every church known to man. I literally visited every denomination, every church I could find, every church there was, wherever the city was, I'd go. And I went, and I was seeking God's people. And I believed that God would show me, no matter where I was. I wasn't afraid to go to the Unification Church, to the all these different kind of spinoff churches. And I would, they said they were preaching Jesus, I'll go. And I'd check it out. I had my Bible, and I'd stay until I figured out that, well, that wasn't adding up, so I'm out of here, you know. And I went to every church there you can think of. And I heard some beautiful testimonies from preachers and from people in basically every church I ever went to. And I heard some beautiful singing and musicians, and they were worshiping the Lord. It was beautiful. And I went to several different cities, but I went to the Catholic Church a few times in different cities. And one time I went, and of course they have communion every Sabbath, and they call it Mass. And this one Catholic church, they came out with this huge cross crucifix with this wooden statue of Jesus on it. And they came, the guy was pretty big, he had to be pretty big to carry this thing. He comes out, and they had this big platform it was seated about right here. And he stuck it right there, clunk, and there it was, you know, in front of the whole church. And as they came up to get communion, they were all coming by and touching his feet, or some of them were even kissing the feet of this wooden statue. And they'd come and do that. And then the priest would give them the wafer. And in the Catholic Church, you don't get to drink the juice, but they give you the wafer. The Catholic priest drinks the juice. It's real wine, and they drink it for every person. Every time a person comes by, they take a drink. And by the end of the thing, there's people holding them up. I've actually seen this. This is true. This is literally true. It's a sad thing. Oftentimes, that's what happens. Not every time, but that's what happens. So I said, I want to take communion. I'm going to go get the wafer. And I didn't know that you had to be a Catholic in order to take communion in a Catholic church. I just thought any Christian could take communion. In the Adventist church, you don't have to be a Seventh-day Adventist to partake of communion. So the Lutheran church, I didn't even know that in the Lutheran church you had to be a member to take communion, but nobody ever told me that in the Lutheran church. So I figured, well, I could go take communion. I did not touch the foot of the statue, and I didn't kiss it or anything. I just kind of, I felt kind of weird when I walked by it. I thought, that can't be right. And so I walked on by, and I thought the priest was going to give me the wafer, and I'd put it in my mouth. He waited till I opened my mouth, and he stuck it in my mouth. I thought, okay, my immune system can handle that. So, but I was blessed that day. I literally worshiped the King of Kings there that day. And I wasn't afraid that the boogeyman was going to get me. And I'm still not afraid. I can walk into any Roman Catholic church, any Scientology church. I can walk into a Satan-worshipping church, and there is no fear as long as I'm hid in Christ and I'm hiding in the rock of ages that was been broken and wounded for me. What's the deal? You know, you got to let Jesus go in front of you. As long as you know he's with you, there's no reason to be afraid. Amen? And so you need to be in church 24/7 in order not to be afraid. And it's not a where situation, it's a who. If you have Jesus in you, you're in church. I love it when people ask me to come to their church. And they say, what church do you go to? They ask me, what church do you go to? I said, I don't go to church. I said, in fact, it's impossible to go to church. I can't go to church. What are you talking about? I said, well, I can't go somewhere I'm already at. Most of them have never heard anybody say that. And I said, because I'm in church 24/7. In fact, you just joined me. We're in church right now. And that really kind of shakes them up a little bit. But hey, people need a little shaking up. We need to challenge people with the truth. The truth will set you free. And he says, it's not where you're going to worship that matters. The hour is coming, and he says, you worship what you do not know. You don't even know that you don't know. That's basically what he's saying. Many people in this world are walking around in a daze. They're zombies. And they don't even know that they don't know. I never watched this stuff about, there was a movie with zombies on it. I don't know what they called it. Did they call it Zombies, this series that went on for years? I don't know what they call it. The Living Dead or something. I think the reason so many people watch that is because they relate to it. Deep inside. Deep inside, they know they're dead. They don't have Jesus. There's nothing to protect them from nonsense and disgusting things and ugly, vile TV viewing. And so, now, if anybody in here has a habit of watching The Living Dead, I didn't mean to offend you just now, but if Jesus offends you, praise God. Amen. Because you need to shake loose from a bunch of nonsense. And it's just amazing. Wow. The stuff they're throwing at us these days. It's interesting what Jesus said, though. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Wow. Now, these are the same Jews that Jesus had just spent, I don't know exactly where this was in his ministry, but he started his ministry by calling them snakes and vipers and clearing out the temple. So he just got finished calling the biggest officers in the Jewish religion snakes and vipers, and tombs full of dead men's bones. And then he turns around and tells this lady that worship is of the Jews. I call that the ability to call it like it is, yet stay with the cause of God. Jesus knew there was more than 7,000. Like Elijah in his day, he thought he was the only one left. Everybody else has gone crazy. And he thought he was the only one worthy. He was the only one that was really worshiping God properly and representing God truthfully. And God said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee. And Jesus knew that. He knew there were precious souls, and he stayed there, and he worked for them, and he gave them his life. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, this is a huge phrase here. I think when you worship God in spirit and in truth, it's going to look like those who worshiped God in the Bible. It's going to sound like it. We're going to sing the same kind of songs. We're going to eventually get as excited as they are in the Bible, the worshipers. I'm talking about the real worshipers, like the blind man that got healed or the lame man that got healed. The lame man sitting outside the temple gate. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on their way. He held up his palms and asked for some alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And if you really know what God has done for you, you will do what the lame man did. And the Bible goes on to say, he went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ. Nazareth, rise up and walk. So he knew what Jesus had just done for him through Peter and John. And he leapt to his feet and he went walking and leaping and shouting through the temple. They must have thought some radical Pentecostal had invaded the remnant church. It's interesting to me how we're really big on saying, now there's a counterfeit, don't you know? And you got to watch out for that counterfeit. Well, and we say, the counterfeit's so close to the genuine, you got to really be careful. And I accept that. I think that's valid. But if the counterfeit is really close to the genuine, why are we sitting around with our thumbs in our pockets? And it takes an act of Congress to get us to shout, hallelujah, or praise the Lord. And if you try to get an Adventist to lift up their hands, you better have some insurance. Some unemployment insurance. And maybe some life insurance. It just blows my mind. And I'm a Lutheran. I mean, I grew up a Lutheran. I'm not a Lutheran now. There's some things that God gave me from the Lutheran church that he'll never take, that are forever. I mean, the just shall live by faith. That's Lutheran. That's Martin Luther. That's Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. But I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I never saw one person in our Lutheran church. Never, ever, ever did anybody in a Lutheran church say amen when the preacher was preaching. That was against the law. I didn't even know people could do that until I visited a Nazarene church. And this old timer was up here, you heard me talk about Guy Wilson, and he'd shout amen, well, 8 or 10 times during the sermon. And they never said amen in the Lutheran church. Nah, never, 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 never. Well, I guarantee you, when Martin Luther first started the Lutheran church, there was amens in the church services. But 3, 4, 5 generations later, the spirit had died. They were no longer worshiping in spirit. And I guarantee you, no one ever lifted their hands in the Lutheran church, and I don't think they've done it yet. And I guarantee you nobody danced down the aisle in the Lutheran church like David. When David danced in Jerusalem, he was in church. Make no mistake about it. He was in church. The Ark of the Covenant was right behind him. I call that church. Right? Huh? Yeah. His wife got in trouble because she criticized him. I remember the first time I danced in the Adventist church. I danced all the way from the back to the front. Wasn't quite this long. This is a long church. You guys know this is a long church. This church was in Birmingham, Alabama. You talk about tradition. You talk about conservative. You talk about you better not raise your hands here. Or we'll shoot you or something. I mean, it was real. And I said, I think I'll just dance down the aisle this time. like I think David did. And I'm sure there's a video of this in heaven. I'm sure that God videoed this. And when I get there, by God's grace, that's the only way I'm going to get there. But I intend to get there. My bags are packed. I'm going by God's grace. And when I get there, I think he's going to show me the video when David danced through the streets of Jerusalem. And then he's going to show me the video of when I danced in the Birmingham Roebuck Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he's going to say, and you really thought you were dancing? Now, David, now there's some dancing. David was dancing. And I don't know if there's very many people here that are going to get that opportunity to compare their dancing to David's dancing in church, because I can almost guarantee you that almost all of you wouldn't dare dance in here this morning. No, 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 no. Not unless God came to you in a burning bush and told you to do it, are you going to do it? And that's basically what it took for him to get me to do it. You know. And some of you shouldn't dance in public, but, you know, if you do, we'll be gracious and we'll just consider it as beautiful as what David did, because that's how God looks at it. It is. Even if you can't keep a beat, even if you can't keep a rhythm. And, you know, I've noticed, now when I was growing up, this is just a little history on this. As I was growing up, I went to a lot of dances. We had dances every weekend. My brother-in-law was the head of the dance band, and my sister had to babysit me, so she took me to all the dances. And there was only white people there because there was nobody else who lived in that town. I mean, that's the only people who went to dances. And for years, I thought white people really could dance. I really did. Until I went to college. And I found out white people can't, not only can they not jump, they can't dance. At least most of them. There's a few exceptions. Like, what's the guy, Gene Kelly? Was he a dancer? Yeah, he can dance. But we're talking about worship, but dancing is a part of worship in the Bible, folks. It's really there. The main worship leaders in the Bible danced. And they not only danced, they wrote in their writings that we should be dancing for joy. They actually wrote that stuff. It's in the Bible. A lot of us say, well, God's changed. Really? I don't think so. And if you're not happy enough to dance, you just ain't happy enough. And if you ain't happy enough, you need to spend more time at the foot of the cross. And that'll turn up your happy. Your joy. Your thanksgiving. Well, we may not be too strong in worshiping in the Spirit, but at least we go to church on seventh day Sabbath. So that equals it out, and that makes me better than all the other Christians, right? Oh, we may not say it, but we believe it. A lot of us believe it. A lot of us do. And our actions speak louder than our words. And there's a lot to talk about there. But I do believe it's important to worship in truth also. And I believe that anything I do in worship should be tested with this scripture. And if I don't see God leading any of these people from Genesis to Revelation to express themselves in worship the way they do in this Bible, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to roll around on the floor like a roly-poly bug. I'm not going to do that. I've been to churches where they're rolling around all over the place. They call them holy rollers. Anybody ever been to a church like that? For a Lutheran boy, that's pretty shocking. You know, I saw a guy do somersaults one night and roll right out the back door. It was crazy. And, you know, I just didn't know what to think. I don't think I was, you know, I wasn't old enough in the Lord to criticize or condemn him. I was just scared. You know, you have to grow up a little bit before you start judging people and condemning people. You know, that comes later, right? When you're a newborn Christian, you don't think about condemning people and judging people. It's when you've been going to church a while that you get good at that. You know, And that's really worship, when you can tell what everybody else is doing wrong. Now you're really a mature, seasoned leader in the church, because you know everybody else's faults and defects. I hope you know I'm not serious, right? But I'm speaking the truth. And you know who sets you up for that? The enemy of God. He lures us into that nonsense and makes us think that that's our spiritual responsibility, is to detect all the errors in everybody's life and all the mistakes they're making. And I'm telling you what, he's done a pretty good job of selling it to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're as quick as anybody to point out error and faults and shortcomings. And, you know, there's some need for that. There's some need to be able to guard and protect ourselves from error and deception that will lead us into the pit or lead us into the ditch. And there's a ditch either side of the King's Highway, the Holy Highway called the King's Highway. There's ditches on either side, and we do need to be aware of that. But we don't. I just think we shouldn't be as rough about it, and as blunt, and as harsh as we've been. Now, I may only be speaking for me. Maybe you've never been this way. Maybe you've never been this way. But I fear some of us have. And God is seeking for us to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. I always wanted to know, I found out, I've heard it before, but it was reminded this week, that the word hypocrite is the same word as actor. That's what they called him back in the day when they first started doing plays and theater and stuff like that, back in ancient Rome and Greece and all that. They were called hypocrites. It wasn't a bad thing. It was like if you call someone an actor or an actress. It's the same word. And it's taken on a bad, implication now. You know, 3,000 years later, you don't want people calling you a hypocrite. But back then, it was a title. It was a prestige. It was like, well, the hypocrites are here today to give us a show. And it was like the actors have come to town and they're going to put on a show. You know, like Marlon Brando has come to town. He's an actor. Well, back 3,000 years ago, they called him hypocrites. It was a good thing. If somebody called you a hypocrite, you made a lot of money. You know, and you were well thought of in the community. But what they did is they wore masks back in those days. They wore masks. And then they acted like somebody else that they weren't. And the way we wear masks, we don't wear real masks because we don't believe in Halloween, so we should never wear masks. But anyway, I believe Halloween's one of the great... What is this? It's almost October. It'll be here like that. I think Halloween is one of the greatest days in the year to be shining for Jesus. Yeah, amen. And I would make my front door look so inviting that they came flocking up there, and I'd have plenty of candy and give them cards for which dentist to go to, you know, of course. But have plenty of candy and send them away happy, but tell them Jesus loves you and so do I, and here, boom, and here, boom. Give them something to read or some little cartoon book about Jesus or something like that. I'm telling you, and if you don't want to do that, you get out on the street and you go door to door and say, hi, I know I'm here to help you. You know, what can I do for you tonight? And you know one thing you can do? You can give them a 9-volt. We used to call them transistor batteries. Anybody remember you call them transistor batteries? You give them a 9-volt transistor battery and say, be sure to change the battery in your smoke alarm because we wouldn't want anything bad to happen. We wouldn't want you to sleep through a fire. And we care about you. Here's your battery. There's no other day in the year where people's doors are more open than Halloween. They're expecting you to come to their house on Halloween. And they're expecting you to bring some little kids. And if you don't have any little kids, go rent some. Yeah. Go rent some and take kids with you, because that lowers their guard even more when they see the little cute little kids. And then when you give them that transistor battery, that 9-volt battery, and say, hey, we care about you, and we just want you to be safe here, boom. And, oh, here's something you could read, boom. And we'll see you later. Now, you've got 2 months to prepare. And there's no excuses. Okay, worship in spirit, worship in truth. What time is it? Oh, that's part two. You're going to have to come back if you want to hear part two. And if you don't want to hear part two, you can still come back. I heard a Sunday preacher on TV this last week talking about everybody needs to be keeping a Sabbath. He didn't say Sabbath. He said a Sabbath. And I'm going, praise God. I'm glad he's even thinking about it, you know. And I'm glad that the governor of Texas signed a thing that we all need to pray on Sunday, September 3. I'm glad he did that. There's a whole lot of people that have to go that direction before they ever even get to Jesus. I hope that people who haven't been to church ever in their life, I hope the people in Texas, there's not too many, but there's a growing number of people in Texas who've never been in church, because there's been a lot of people from California migrating to Texas for the last 10 years, and there's a lot of people in California that haven't been to church. But I hope they all go to church tomorrow to pray. And I hope every one of them find Jesus Christ. And if you think that can't happen, you're running on half a brain, maybe a fourth of a brain. Because I guarantee you, Jesus is not limited by people's confusion and by people's ignorance. This woman is as ignorant as she could be. She didn't know anything. Well, our guys worshiped here and we're greater and you guys, blah, 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 blah. She's so mixed up talking about stuff that didn't even matter. Jesus said, the day's coming, we won't worship anywhere like that. It's going to be this way. She didn't know what she was doing, and Jesus still reached out and touched her. And I hope that's what happens tomorrow. President Reagan, he signed a bunch of those back there. President Trump, he signed it too. They've been signing these things for 100 years. And yeah, there's some interesting things going on there. But I can guarantee you, I found Jesus Christ in a Sunday church. And there's still people finding Jesus in those Sunday churches, and they're beautiful Christians. And I love to pray with them. I love when they pray for me. I love to hear them sing. I love to learn how they're going out and how they're attracting people to Jesus, and I can actually gain and learn from them on techniques and skills and things, how to do that. It's beautiful. And I just, you know, it's like, may God help us to be willing to touch Samaritans. At least we think they're not really, but to touch Samaritans like Jesus touched this woman. May God help us to see the potential and to see the beauty and the value and the worth of people that we do not agree with, that we might even think they're kooky. Amen. Amen. As you think about this, y'all live in a neighborhood. Y'all have people living around you. And unless you know their first names, and unless you've asked them, you don't know who they are, and you don't know what they believe, and you don't know what they're doing. And God's counting on you to go and touch them the way Jesus touched this woman at the well. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, he's talking to us, he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Now go in my name. It's going to take courage, it's going to take wisdom, it's going to take strength, it's going to take the faith of Jesus, it's going to take the wisdom of Jesus, it's going to take the faith of Jesus. But it's all here, he's here for us. And I hope you can do it this week. I hope you can do it this week. Start making connections now so that when a disaster like this hits us, we won't have to go make friends. They'll already be our friends. And it's going to hit California one way or another. It's coming. The whole world. The reason I know that is because it's going to hit the whole world eventually. But the more time we spend building up in Jesus and making connections for Jesus, like Jesus did this woman, the more fruit, the more harvest there's going to be when the time comes. I kind of believe that after Jesus went back to heaven, Peter and James and John, or maybe the Apostle Paul, they got around and this woman heard a gospel sermon and she got baptized. I'm going to be looking for her in heaven. Even though she was shacked up with five different men, I'm going to be looking for her in heaven. How about you? And you know, you may find some pretty crazy stuff out there in your neighborhood. And be ready to just roll with it. Be ready to just love them anyway. Be ready to just treat them like they're property of the king, because they are. They're property of the king. And if they invite you to come to church, I'd say, well, I'll make a deal with you. I'll come visit your church if you come visit mine. Most people just say no and walk off. No, I wouldn't go to one of those Babylonian churches. They might turn me into a werewolf or something. Go! I'll go with you. You could tell them I'm your brother-in-law or something, you know. I am. Brother in the law of Christ. Right? We need to open up. We need to move out for Jesus and for the people who need Jesus just like we do, just like this woman needed Jesus. They're out there. They're waiting for you. They're not waiting for me. It's your neighborhood. It's your turf. God's got this on you. And I'll do all I can to help you, but it's your job. As the Father sent me, Jesus says to you this morning, so I'm sending you. And they're waiting for you. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you came in, if you're not a Christian right now, that means you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. If you haven't turned your life over to Jesus Christ, and if you don't do that every day, if that's not your habit, if that's not your discipline of getting up every morning and giving your life to Jesus, then please don't leave here today without making that your eternal destiny. Say, yes, Jesus, I'm yours. And if you need to come up here and pray with me, that's fine. But you don't necessarily need to unless the Spirit tells you to, but you can do it right there. You can go out here and do it anywhere you want, because church is wherever you and Jesus go. And as we close, I hope you have time to pray with someone today. And if you've never prayed before, and if you don't feel comfortable praying, I hope you have time to find somebody and say, hey, could you pray for me? Because I want Jesus in my life. If you'll just do that, and if you can't do that, then just be private with Jesus and say, Jesus, is this guy crazy or is this stuff real? Please make it obvious for me. God bless you as you pray with each other, or as you depart, whatever the case may be, take Jesus with you. He is worthy. Amen.